For KLCC News, I'm Brian Bull. At NPR, the Ombudsman serves as a liaison between the audience and the newsroom. They review listener concerns or questions over coverage, including whether a specific candidate or event is getting due attention from reporters. Sometimes there's issues regarding terminology, such as whether or not NPR should call the NFL team in Washington, D.C. by its official name. NPR's current ombudsman is Elizabeth Jensen. She's touring Oregon this week, which included a visit to KLCC studios. I asked her how busy she and her editorial researcher have been lately.
We got, just from November to January, 2,900 emails, which is a lot.
Wow. I mean, 2,900 emails, yes, in a three-month period. If you were to compare from maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, that same track of time, yes, is that a significant increase? Because I'm thinking election.
It is. You got it. You got it. So it's election. And then January included the inauguration of President Trump and his early moves. You know, we're living in a very intense political time, and people are weighing in, and they're interested in our coverage. So I guess a year ago we were probably getting 800 emails a month, and in January we got 1,400. So that's a significant increase.
Is there a need for ramped up fact checking with this president? Are you hearing anything from NPR's editors, producers, and reporters on how they keep up with what appears to be an almost daily barrage of statements that later turn out to be exaggerated, wrong, or false? For instance, the president's claim on the national crime rate, which contrasted sharply with that of the FBI.
Right. So this has been an issue. It was an issue in the presidential primaries. So NPR really had a chance to start to figure out how to address that. So yes, absolutely. Fact-checking at all news organizations, I think, has become really, really important in this time. So NPR chose to address this starting with the first presidential candidate debate. They've created an online fact-checking tool, and this has now been used for press conferences. It was used for President Obama's final farewell address. It was used for President Obama's last press conference. So it's essentially a running transcript, a real-time transcript of what's being said, and then NPR reporters and editors weigh in and fact-check, annotate, add context to what's being said. I think this is a great tool that's really giving listeners instant understanding of where these statements fall in the factual on the factual chain. You know, some things aren't necessarily wrong, but that you need more context. So this is a way to do that. So NPR also has a tool that is fact-checking the president's tweets, which also I think has been proven to be a successful tool. The real challenge at NPR is in live interviews. There have been a number of times where misinformation is being spread during a live interview. The hosts are really great. They're briefed really well. You still can't be on top of every little statistic that is thrown out in an interview. And so sometimes it's hard to catch it. The NPR hosts, when they hear something that's inaccurate, they catch it and try to ask the guest to clarify or correct them. It's not always possible. So that is the real challenge for me these days, is sort of figuring out how to keep misinformation from being spread in a live interview.
Previous presidents used to issue statements via news conference, yes, or press release.
Yes.
President Trump is very fond of Twitter, which means that he can fire off a very steady stream of concise and often tersely phrased punchy statements within the limitations of a tweet. Are these newsworthy?
We get that question from listeners a lot. There are a lot of listeners who just don't want us to report on the president's tweets. My own view of this is that this is how the president has chosen to communicate. In and of itself, it's newsworthy. Of course, like any other newsworthy statement, you have to put it into context. You have to consider whether the information in it is accurate. So what NPR shouldn't be doing, and I don't feel it has been doing for the most part, is these tweets should not be reported on uncritically. Is it a policy change that's being communicated in this tweet? Is it just an insult? You have to bring all your news judgment to bear. These tweets cannot be sort of passed along uncritically and unfact-checked.
Are there other media organizations that you know that have an ombudsman?
PBS has an ombudsman. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting has its own ombudsman. Other than that, It's sort of a shrinking business these days. The Washington Post had an ombudsman. They no longer do. But the New York Times has a public editor. ESPN has a public editor. They still see the value in the role. So the question, of course, of whether you need an ombudsman is an interesting one. Some news organizations have argued that with the rise of social media, if you have a mistake, it's going to be pointed out to you within seconds by someone on Twitter. You're going to catch it. You're going to make the change. But, you know, from my vantage point, having an ombudsman, you have someone who is in-house who can go directly to the newsroom, and I hope that I provide thoughtful conversations. We all have the same goal, which is to make sure that the journalism at NPR stays as strong as possible. Sometimes having someone in-house who's looking at these issues provides value that maybe an outside social media critic does not.
My talk with NPR's ombudsman, Elizabeth Jensen. For an extended conversation, go to klcc.org. For KLCC News, I'm Brian Bull.